Today has certainly been a good day in many ways. The delivering of the fruit baskets, I think, went more smoothly than we have ever had it. There will be in the announcements tonight a need that we have to complete that work. I really appreciated the lesson that Brother Hires brought this morning. I appreciate his knowledge and expertise, experience that makes it possible for a lesson to be brought like that almost on the spur of the moment. And I think all of us are appreciative of the fact that Saddam Hussein has been captured. And we just pray that that will have a positive effect on the search for peace in that part of the world and throughout the world. Today has been a good day in so many ways, and we're thankful that you are here tonight. Toward the end of his lesson this morning, Brother Hires quoted Proverbs 14, where it says that righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. He did not know what I had planned to preach tonight, but I think in a sense that sort of set a foundation for what I had planned, and ties somewhat the thoughts in the latter part of his lesson this morning to our thoughts tonight. You will remember that he mentioned, in drawing the lessons from the situation that he discussed and what's happening today, that God can use nations that are evil to bring those nations that seem to be righteous to their knees, and to help them to appreciate and understand God. And then he went ahead to say that it could very well be that a nation like China could be used to cause America to awaken to the principles upon which we were founded, and concern was expressed then and is expressed tonight by me concerning the foundations of this nation. We have many good things happening, and I always try to remember that God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. But folks, we have many problems that also exist. As indicated there in Isaiah 5:20, there was a time then when people called good evil and evil good, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that happening in our time today? Paul warned in the second passage that was read that we need to be concerned about the way the devil works. He said we're really not ignorant of his devices, but sometimes we may very well bury our heads in the sand and not think about his devices that he's using. Twice in the book of Jeremiah at 6:15 and 8:12, Jeremiah said, in talking about the people at that time, that they were unable to be ashamed and that they could not blush. I think of those passages often when I think about many of the things that are happening in our time and in our midst today. Many of the things that my dad and mother would not even discuss in my presence are discussed on public television today without any faces getting red, without there seeming to be any feeling of guilt or shame, without any blushing whatsoever. There is no right way, folks, to do that which is wrong. Wrong is wrong. And I think that is really the idea that we need to get across to ourselves today and share with other people. Sometimes we can take that which is right and turn it into that which is wrong with the wrong attitude or the wrong approach. But there is no way that you can take that which is wrong and make it right. You can take a person who is wrong, who is involved in doing that which is wrong, and make his relationship to God right because of forgiveness and because of the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that that is true. It would take a little bit of the stretch of the imagination for this to happen, but if Saddam Hussein could be taught the truth about Jesus Christ and could be led to believe in Christ and to be penitent of all his wrongs, and they seem to be many, he could be forgiven, he could become a Christian, and he could be saved eternally. And as I said, that takes some stretching of the imagination. In reality, I suppose, it just takes facing the facts of the gospel. But nothing that he has done which is wrong can be made right in and of itself. Wrong is wrong. I want us to look at that tonight in five different ways, and I believe some of the things that we're talking about tonight are very important to us. It is easy to talk about a man that has done so many things we believe are wrong on the other side of the world. It is easy to criticize those things that we see even advertised in our society today. Yet sometimes it is not that easy for us to look at ourselves and realize that we can suffer difficulties in these areas of thought. In the first place, we need to realize that wrong is wrong whether or not a person is caught in doing it. I know the Bible says your sins will find you out, and by experience and observation, we realize that usually, over a period of time, the one who is doing the wrong will be caught. But there have been exceptions to that. There have been situations where a person has been guilty of doing a wrong and that it is never known to any other person. However, it is known to God. Because the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Proverbs 15, verse 3. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, 13. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. Yesterday morning, Saddam Hussein had not been captured. This morning, his capture was announced. He was caught. But did any of the things that he had done change overnight? Was he any more guilty or any less guilty today than he was yesterday? A person is working in a business. He is able with the computer to change some of the figures having to do with the financial situation of the company and move some of the money into a private account so that he benefits from it and is able to do it in a way that he covers it up and nobody else knows. Is he any less guilty because he has not been caught? Someone misrepresents the truth and tells a lie. Maybe because of certain circumstances, it is never detected by anyone else that that person has lied. Is it any less a lie? A person, sometimes an adult, sometimes a younger person, is able to go into his room with his computer and pull up pornography on that computer and be involved in a relationship to that without anybody else ever knowing. Is he any less guilty? Wrong is wrong whether or not it is known by someone else, because it is always known by our Heavenly Father. In the second place, wrong is wrong even if it is done in the name of a good cause. This is another way of dealing with the statement that you and I have heard down through the years, that either some would say the end justifies the means, or the other would say the end does not justify the means. Does the end justify the means? If something is wrong, but it is being used for a good cause, does that make it right? I affirm to you tonight that it does not. Sin is a transgression of the law. And if something is wrong and it transgresses the law of God, it is sin, whether or not someone might get some good out of it. In 2 John verses 9 and 10, we are told that if we bid someone Godspeed in doing that which is wrong, that we are partaker of his evil deed. Let me mention to you two areas that concern me very much. One has to do with the work that is being done by the Salvation Army. We are at a time of the year when it is almost impossible to go to Jackson and go into any of the major stores or businesses without there being somebody on the outside ringing a bell in the name of doing good. First, let me say in passing that any organization could have the opportunity to ring a bell at every business and raise money to do the same thing, using somebody else's money. But the Salvation Army is a denomination. It is a church. It is a religious organization. Are they doing good? I'm sure they are. I'm sure that many of the things that they do are good. But I cannot support what they are doing, because in doing that, I would be supporting a religious denomination. And the end result does not make it right. I appreciate the many good things that they do and the attitude that they have toward doing good. But to do it in a way to have everybody in the public supporting what they are doing and getting credit for, and even being listed in Mead's Handbook of Denominations in the United States as a church, causes us to need to be concerned. Wrong is wrong, even if it is for a good cause. I have another problem that comes up almost regularly in connection with our schools. Folks, in my opinion, based upon the Word of God, a raffle is gambling. If our definition for gambling is right, and we have given it basically as paying for a chance to win or lose, then to buy a chance on something, even though the money is going for a good cause, is still gambling. And we can reason from every angle that we want to, that it's for good, it is to help students. I really don't think I will win, but in the back of your mind, know if you did, you'd take it. It becomes the same thing as gambling in the lottery that's about to begin in our state. I have wrestled with this. When I was younger, I did not understand this, and there was a time when I sold chances as a student in school. In fact, in one year, I sold more than anybody else until somebody explained to me what was involved. Something that is for a good cause is not right if it's wrong in what is being done. What I have decided to do when someone suggests the idea of selling me a chance on a raffle, if I think it is worthwhile, I will make a donation to the cause. But I do not believe that I can be involved, whether it is a cakewalk at a school, a raffle for a school function or for a civic function. I'm in the Lions Club, and if there were to be the selling of chances on something in that club, I will not participate, because I believe that it is gambling when I pay money to create a chance whereby I might win or I might lose, even though it's in the name of a good cause. That's exactly what has been presented by the state lottery in Tennessee. It has been promoted by the idea that much of the money will go for scholarships. I dare you to take the time one of these days when this gets to going to see where the money is really going. If you'll just stop and think about the salaries that are being advertised now for some of the people that are involved in organizing it, you will see that much of the money is not going to our schools. Wrong is wrong, even if it is in the name of a good cause. Wrong is wrong even if others are doing something that is worse than we are doing. This has been an approach that we have taken down through the years, and yet the Bible says in Proverbs 24:9 that the thought of sin is foolishness. Even a sinful thought can be foolishness in the sight of God. Several times down through the years, when I have preached on the subject of social dancing, I've had parents come to me and say, I had rather have my child on a dance floor than in a bar downtown. Well, I don't know that I'm able to analyze and compare and contrast those two. I probably had two. But you know, I'm pretty sure I'd rather be shot with a 22 than a machine gun. But just believe you me, I'm not interested in being shot with a 22. And to say that somebody else is doing worse, and many times even when we try to excuse ourselves when it has to do with attendance or involvement in the work of the church or being involved in those things that are questionable, and we'll say, well, what I'm doing is minor compared to what somebody else is doing. I'm not as bad as he is. How many times have you heard something like that? And talking to someone that's unfaithful as a Christian. But what difference will that make when the day of judgment comes? In Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, we have a list of those that shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. The murderers are mentioned. And at the beginning of that list are those that are fearful and unbelieving. And I really don't think, with all things taken into consideration, that it's as bad as to be fearful as it is to be a murderer. At the end of that list is, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I think I can say to you without contradiction, I'd rather tell a lie than to kill somebody. And yet, they're both in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Folks, just to say that somebody else is doing something worse, he said it would be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for Capernaum. How tolerable do you think it will be for Sodom in the day of judgment? Wrong is wrong, based upon what is being done, not whether it seems to be as bad as, or worse than, or not as bad as what somebody else is doing. Number four, wrong is wrong even if it is generally accepted in the community or in the church. You see, right and wrong is not determined by whether or not there is a poll taken and 65% or 75% of those who are in the poll think it's okay to do this. We went through a situation like this a few years ago in our nation where there were polls taken concerning whether or not certain acts by some of our political people were wrong or right, whether they were lies or not. And what came out of the polls really disturbed me more than what was being done by any one individual. The general idea seemed to be that everybody else is doing it, and it is generally accepted, and we will have to admit that there are some things today that are generally accepted as being okay that were not generally accepted as being okay just a few years ago. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 14 and 15, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. He says, don't make your decision based upon what may be the general approach to something. Let me give you an example or two of what we're talking about. One evident example is the gay movement in our nation. I am convinced that there are not as many people who claim to be of that persuasion as we are made to believe. But have you ever known of anything in our nation that has captured more attention and is able to get more laws passed of a favorable nature than this? And in some instances today, if one objects, even on a biblical basis, he may be accused of a hate crime. But the Bible still condemns homosexuality. Have you ever known of a time when you saw more in the newspaper said or heard in other ways of babies being born out of wedlock without any shame? Announced as though it were what is accepted by everybody? I am amazed, and I don't know whether this catches your attention like it has mine, at the number of people in Chester County who will announce in the paper the birth of a baby and announce the mother and the father with different names, known that they're not married, never intend to be married. A baby is born under circumstances like that, and it is getting to be, seemingly in many circles, generally accepted as okay. Please do not misunderstand me. Each baby that is born is important. We need to be concerned, and we need to be concerned about helping those who make mistakes to make things right in the sight of God. I'm not talking about either of those points. I'm talking about the general acceptance of it. Look at the acceptance concerning marriage and divorce. Recently, a congregation about the size of this was reported to have 71 couples in the congregation that had been divorced and remarried. That's in the church. We are allowing ourselves to accept things because other people are accepting it. But wrong is wrong, whether or not it is generally accepted. And in the fifth place, wrong is wrong even if it doesn't bother your conscience. The conscience is very much involved in life, and it's very important. In fact, if we do not follow our conscience, we would be hypocrites. But the conscience can be seared with a hot iron, or as with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. And the conscience can be taught wrong. Paul said he had lived in all good conscience before God and man till that day, although he had murdered people, put them to death, persecuted the church. The conscience can be seared to where there is no or little feeling. And it can be taught wrong. And yet the conscience is important, because we are to obey from the heart that which is delivered to us. And our obedience would not be acceptable if it is not from the heart and with the conscience involved. The conscience can either accuse or excuse. Romans 2:15. And it is very much involved in helping us to respect even the laws of the land. Romans 13 and verse 5. Yet, how many Christians have you heard almost brag about breaking the speed limit and not getting caught? And how many of us, let's be honest with ourselves, are allowing ourselves to come to the point that we're just sort of selling ourselves on the idea that it's okay to go 80 miles an hour where there's a 70-mile speed zone? And maybe it goes back to some of these other points. Everybody else is doing it, and I'll have to admit that sometimes it seems that's the case. But we get to the point to where it doesn't bother us if someone else is doing something, or even if we're doing it, because the conscience for us can become somewhat seared, as it were, with a hot iron. Wrong is wrong, even if it doesn't bother the conscience. I think, folks, when we really stop and look at these areas that we've considered tonight, that we may begin to see why the Bible says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." And wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. It is so easy for us to sell ourselves a bill of goods that something is okay when it's not okay. Now let me go back and emphasize something I said at the first of the lesson tonight. It is true that wrong is wrong, and there is no right way to do a wrong thing. But I'm thankful to God that it is also true that you can help a person who is in the wrong become right. And I'm thankful in my case and yours that when we make mistakes and something is wrong, it is wrong, there's no question about it, that there is a place where we can turn and make ourselves right in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But folks, we never do it. We never do it by staying in the wrong. Because wrong is wrong, whether or not we're caught. Wrong is wrong even if it's in the name of a good cause. Wrong is wrong even if somebody else is doing something that's worse. Wrong is wrong even if it's generally accepted. And wrong is wrong even if we sear the conscience to where we don't feel it. Right and wrong is determined not in these areas we've discussed tonight, but by the Word of God. He said there are some who call evil good and good evil. It's time that we get back to calling evil evil and good good. It's not going to be easy. All of us will make some mistakes. All of us will need to get out of those wrong areas and turn to do what is right and receive forgiveness. But we will never do it until we realize that wrong is wrong and is never right under any circumstances. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can become one. I stated earlier that if Saddam Hussein would obey the gospel, he could become a Christian. If he could, anybody can. No matter what your background, no matter what the problems may have been, if you're willing to get out of the wrong and repent and turn to God and obey, you can become a Christian. And as a Christian, any sin we've committed can be forgiven if we're willing to get out of that wrong, turn from it, repent, and be obedient to God. That's the good news. Wrong is always wrong, but a person in the wrong can always become right if he wants to. Do you need to? Do you want to? As together we stand and sing.